standing on the promises of Christ. Please be seated. Let us pray. God of eternity and the Lord of creation, our Heavenly Father, we come to you with praise and thanksgiving and adoration before you. You have created everything beautiful, but we have separated ourselves from you and from your love. Yet, God, you chose to redeem us from this fallen stage through your Son Jesus Christ, who by his life has broken down the barriers that separate us, by his death torn down the barrier between us and God, and by his resurrection opened the gates to eternity. Thank you for the privilege that you have given us as your children to come together and worship you in truth and in spirit on this World Communion Sunday, as we remember all the believers around the world who are gathering in your name. We pray that you will unite us, Lord, in one spirit, one baptism, and one table. As we partake in the table today, let the Holy Spirit dwell in us and empower us so that we can spread that message of love to this world. Lord, we thank you for your presence in our midst. Grant that we worship you without borders or barriers, and also in truth and in spirit. Let all honor and glory be yours now and forever through Jesus Christ, your Son and our Savior and Lord. Amen. Amen. Our fellowship time, we greet each other in Christian love. You can stand up and wave each other, and also online. Say hi to each other. Good morning for everyone who joined.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning. We have more people today here in the church. You can all see. Please remain sitting for the choir anthem, "I Shall Not Be Moved." It's in the Red Book, 187, 1, 3 and 4, if you want to join with the choir. Please stand for the responsive reading, Psalm 30, verses 1 through 7. You see that in the insert in your bulletin.
I will extol you, O Lord, for you have lifted me up and did not let my foes rejoice over me.
O Lord my God, I cried out to you for help, and you healed me.
O Lord, you brought up my soul from Sheol.
Restore me to life from among those who have gone down to the pit.
Sing praises to the Lord, O his faithful ones, and give thanks to his holy name.
Surely the Lord's anger is but for a moment. The Lord's favor is for a lifetime.
Weeping may tarry for the night, but joy comes with the morning.
As for me, I said in my prosperity, I shall never be moved.
By your favor, O Lord, you had established me as a strong mountain.
You hid your face, I was dismayed.
The word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
Please be seated. It's our prayer time now. As a church family, we come together and share our prayers of blessings so that we can thank God together for all the blessings that we receive in our lives. And also we share our prayers of burdens and concerns and lift them up to the throne of grace of God. And when we unite in spirit and pray, God has promised that he will answer our prayers according to his time and his will. So let us come boldly to the throne of grace today to share our prayers of blessings as well as the prayers of concerns and burdens. The last page in the bulletin will have the regular prayer requests. Please use that as a list for your regular prayers. Post them at your study desk or refrigerator or wherever you can see and remember these people and items in your prayers on a regular basis.
Stanley Marsters, who had broken his ribs, he's now at home resting and still healing. So thank you for continued prayers, and we thank everybody as well.
Okay.
Also, I've put Gary Daniel already on the prayer list, and he's been our client for 10 years. He had lost his mother some time ago, but the main reason is he's going to have two different surgeries, one to take a rod out of his knee and also hip surgery, and he's in his 40s, but he's just frightened about surgery in general and doesn't really have someone to talk to, like his mother perhaps. So just prayers for his success with all of that and comfort.
Also thanks for the prayers for the Howell family.
Yes.
For the
Thank you. Keep out United Methodist Church for the prayer.
And Pastor, I have a praise about Nick. They've moved him out of not just intensive care, but they moved him out of the hospital into a recovery area.
Oh, wow.
He can have friends and family, so his recovery is progressing very well.
Very good. Thank God for that. Yeah, we had a blessing this year, this week, with our grandchild's first birthday. So we had a big celebration, only just four of us. But it was a joyful occasion. Thank you for the prayers.
Yeah. Pastor, I'd like to let the ones know that, remember Gene Brown, our pastor in the past?
Mm-hmm.
He's had some sort of a stroke, and I haven't heard any more back from that yet. But I did reach out to his son, and they said that they were moving to his daughter's house, and she was going to be there to take care of him.
Okay, I don't know if you all heard that online. Mr. Pastor Gene Brown, who used to be the pastor of this church, had a stroke, and he's moved to his daughter's house.
That's correct. And from what I understand, it's also in Florida.
Okay.
Well, Pastor, I'd like to also add a prayer for one of my classmates that lives in the Chicago area. He just died of severe frostbite on both his feet. And last week they had to take both his legs off because it wasn't properly treated at the time. And instead of gangrene, he had to take both his legs off last week. His name is George Patterson.
Also, we were praying for Raju's family who passed away this past week, our family friend. The funeral was on Thursday. Please keep them in the family in our prayers. Yes, dear.
Pastor, I have a blessing. Marianne had 104 days sick in Hawaii, place that we took it, I guess. But she was fighting for her life, and she got to come home this past Wednesday.
She did?
Yeah.
Okay, great.
Back home to Georgia and watched it for
her. Went for a vacation in Hawaii. Stayed longer than you wanted.
She didn't think she was going to make it.
That is a blessing. Thank you for all the prayers. Where do they live here in this?
Watkinsville.
Watkinsville, okay.
Here I
am. Are there any other prayers? Let us continue to pray for our nation and also our president to have a full recovery before the election, and also a smooth transition of power or whatever happens after the elections. We need a peaceful election as well. So keep our country in our prayers. And also remember our first responders and people who are working in the front lines during this COVID. And let us continue to pray that God will bring an end to this pandemic one way or other. And we know that God has a plan, but help. Let us pray that God will give us the patience to endure these times. October 18, we will have the charge conference. Please pray about it and also pray for our church, for our continued ministry for the next year and also for the future. It is at 3 o'clock on that Sunday. Please remember and note it down in your calendar and join as much as he can, as many of you as he can, through online or being here at 3 o'clock. Are there any other announcements or anything that anybody wants to add? If not, let us go to God in prayer, and we'll spend a few moments in silent prayer where we can bring out our unspoken prayers, and after that I will close with a summarized prayer. Let us pray. Scripture tells us, do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God, and the peace of God that passeth all understanding will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Loving Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time that you have given us together to come as a church family to share our prayers of blessings as well as our concerns and burdens. Lord, we thank you for the gift of life that you've given us in this world, to live a blessed life, to bless this world and also bring honor and glory to your name. And we thank you for the numerous blessings that you shower upon us, even when we don't deserve it. Thank you for covering us with your love and protection every day. As we come before you, Lord, we know that you are listening and we look up to you for our needs. You are the source of all good things, and you only desire good things for us, O Lord. We are broken and we are sometimes afraid and fearful of the future. But we know that you are there eternally, everlasting God, who is in control of all the situations around us. Even youths grow tired and weary, and young men stumble and fall. But those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. Lord, we come to you for our strength at this time when we feel weak and tired. We pray for protection and guidance in times of our confusion and doubts during this time, particularly as a nation. We pray for our president as he is in the hospital for a full recovery so that he can come out again with full strength and in his body. And we pray for the nation as a whole as we face the election to have a peaceful election. We pray for all those who have lifted our names that we have lifted up in our prayers here today, Lord. We thank you for the progress of health for Nick as he had the heart transplant and now he's progressing. Thank you for the good news, and we pray for his continued recovery. Lord, we pray for Shirley Masters and Gary Daniels that Lisa shared. Bless them, Lord, according to their needs, and heal them, Lord, according to their problems that they have in their bodies. We pray for Jean Brown, who had a stroke. We pray that you will heal him. We above all pray for peace and comfort in his heart and for the family. We pray for David Bias for his surgery, and be with him and the family and the people who care for him. We thank you for the new birthday that you have given to their niece this week, Lord. We pray for Miss Lou's classmate, Gregory Pattison. Be with them and cover them with your love and protection during this time. We also thank you for the protection that you have given to the people who were struggling with the fire and the tornadoes that have passed us, Lord, and thank you for protection there, and we also pray for your continued mercies on those who are still struggling with those. We thank you for your presence in the middle of the death of Ernest Howell, and we pray for your continued comfort and presence for the family and for your guidance in their lives. We thank you for the recovery and the travel that Mary Ann was able to do from Hawaii back home after a long stay in Hawaii struggling for her life. Pray for continued recovery and full recovery back to normal for that family as well. We pray for Raju's family who's grieving at the death of their father. We pray that you'll comfort them with your peace and your presence in their hearts and minds also. We pray for all of those who are suffering because of this pandemic. We pray that you'll bring an end to this pandemic, Lord, and we know that you have a plan. Help us, Lord, to be patient, to wait for your will to be done in our lives. We pray for all those who are working in the front lines, particularly our health and safety personnel, law enforcement and our military, our national leaders and the state leaders who have to make difficult decisions about opening the economy and various businesses. Help us, Lord, to always trust in your guidance, and also we pray for them that they will be guided by the Holy Spirit with wisdom to make the right decisions. Bless us, Lord, as a church. We continue to look for your guidance to grow in this community and also to be faithful in the ministry that you have given us to do here. Bless our yard sale that is coming up, that it will be an outreach mission opportunity that we can reach out and have contacts from this neighborhood. We pray for your continued guidance in the church to do our work in this community, to be effectively doing your work that you have given us to do. Bless us today as we come to your table to partake in the communion, that we will share the same bread and the same cup that the whole church around the world is sharing today, to unite us in your spirit, to be one body in Christ, to spread your message of love to this world. Bless us with your presence today. Let your name be lifted up in our songs and our meditation of the word and the prayers that we today, and also bring honor and glory to your name and blessing to your people. We pray this prayer in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Now the ushers will come forward and take up the collection of offerings, please.
Thank you. Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise Him, all creatures here below. Praise Him above, ye heavenly hosts. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Amen.
Let us pray. Loving God, you are the source of all good things that we have, and you are the source of all we have and we are. We come to you with our open hands, with a portion of what you have given us back to you, Lord. Bless these offerings of your people. As we come before you, Lord, bless us to be your faithful witnesses in our giving, in our witness, in our ministry in this community that you have given us, Lord. We thank you for all those who were able to give joyfully, and also pray for those who could not give today. Remember all of them in your love, O God, and bless and help us to use this offering to share your love to this world. In the name of Jesus Christ we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Please remain standing for the reading of the word. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 13 through 17.
No temptation has overtaken you except what is common to mankind. And God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. But when you are tempted, He will also provide a way out so that you can endure it. Therefore, my dear friends, flee from idolatry. I speak to sensible people. Judge for yourselves what I say. Is not the cup of thanksgiving for which we give thanks a participation in the blood of Christ? And is not the bread that we break a participation in the body of Christ? Because there is one loaf, we, who are many, are one body, for we all share the one loaf. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Please be seated. Let us pray. Loving God, we thank you for the word that you have given us, through which you give us the power to experience your power in our lives. It is life and spirit in our lives, Lord, so that we can be life and spirit to this world. As we come before your word, Lord, give us a humble and obedient spirit. Illumine our souls so that we can understand and see the mysteries hidden in your word. Unite us in your spirit, O Lord, with all the saints around this world who are celebrating the same table that we are taking today. Help us, Lord, to be united in spirit so that we can be more effective witnesses for you in the days to come. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Rock and our Redeemer. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We were continuing with the study of Genesis for this series, but today is a special Sunday where we celebrate the World Communion along with all the other churches, regardless of denominations. All churches together are celebrating the World Communion, that we partake in one cup and one bread, that remember and that unites us together as one body in this world. Our story as Christians is a story of one faith and one community of many different people. So I decided to preach on that one subject today because of the celebration of the World Communion. Receiving the cup and partaking in the life, death and resurrection of the Jesus Christ, we are united in one spirit to find hope and forgiveness in our lives and also to this world. We join people around the world in their situations and come to this table, one table, even though in many different situations. We are all coming to this one table as children of God, one Father, one faith, one baptism, and one table. And that is what we are going to be celebrating today. And beyond all of that, we have one hope that we will always be going to be together in one heaven, regardless of where we come from or we are. So that is one big picture that God gives us today to celebrate as one body in Christ. So when we celebrate the communion, there's a lot of different varieties of worship and different styles of worship and communion people do. God's people are made in different ways and different natures. And different people worship in different styles and cultures, but we are all worshiping together in one spirit, the one God that we all pray and worship together. When I look at, we have two cars, my wife and I have different cars. So hers is one company make and mine is another company make. We hate to switch our cars to go anywhere because she drives when we go in her car and I drive my car when we go in my car because we don't like to switch cars to drive. The problem is two different companies make everything differently. So her car is newer and better. So she gets to drive most of the time, so I get to be the passenger. And one of my old church members where I served before that said, it's not fair that you make her as your chauffeur. I said, it's not the chauffeur. It is because she has a newer car and she gets to drive that and she likes to drive it and she doesn't let me drive it. The problem is that the reason we have different make of cars made two different companies, every time I try to drive her car, I have to move the car seat so much behind that I can't even get in. And then I have to change the mirror and I have to change the side mirrors and all of that little things about, and also I don't know where the different controls are, the radio button, the air button, all of that's all different. So I struggle. And always while driving, I'm conscious of this problem that, you know, what do I push next? So it is a good idea that we decided, you drive your car, I drive my car. So we don't have to redo all of these things when we come home. So these are all different things that we deal with that. A lot of different ways of doing things. In our own car, we feel so comfortable, everything comes normal. I don't have to think about where my air conditioning button is when I'm driving my car. It comes automatic. So I don't have to think about it. So we can just go through the motions when we are in our comfortable circumstances. Many times our worship and our communion and attending the table can be like that. We go through the motions because we are so comfortable with it. At the same time, sometimes we don't think and pause and think about the significance of what we are doing. Pretty much know what to expect and it is easy to just go through the motions without really thinking about what we are doing and what we are celebrating together. Some churches may kneel to receive the bread and the cup. Some may drink the cup from a common cup and while others may drink from individual cups like we do. The bread may be dipped in juice or some congregations may sing during that time. Some may be really quiet and nobody sings or say anything during that time. The people coming to the table are also different, brown or black, Republican or Democrat or independent, doesn't matter. Doesn't matter who you are, we are all coming together as one people regardless of differences, right? If President Trump shows up here, he will be coming in line to take the same thing, right? And if Biden shows up, he will also stand in line to take up the same thing. There is no difference between any of those things when we come to this table. What a beauty that is, that God has given us as one people to share the one cup as without any differences of class or creed or color, about that unity in Christ that we can celebrate. Sometimes we get caught up with this traditional things that we have in one of the churches, an old church, very old church in New York City. I don't want to say the denomination. They had a priest for about 35 years, the same priest. And that priest was eventually retired, and then a new pastor came in, and it was a young pastor, a young priest. And it was his first appointment. So he was very nervous and self-conscious about what he was doing, tried to please everybody. But something was not going right after he took over. So he started talking to his deacons and church leaders about, you know, what is going on here. I know some people are not very happy, but I can't, you know, get really to the bottom of it. Can you find out and tell me what's the problem? And one of the leaders said, yeah, I wanted to bring that to your attention. I hate to say that. It is the way that you do the communion service. Oh, really? So he didn't even think about that as a problem. So, well, the way I do communion service? And he said, yeah, it is that some things that you are missing out, some things that our pastor, our priest, used to do that you are not doing anymore. And I said, what was that? He said, yeah, he used to always, before he takes the cup or the chalice, he would go and touch the radiator. You know, the heater radiator in the church, in the northeast, they have the heater with the radiation, water radiators. I don't know if you know about that in the south. It's a metal casing over it. So the priest used to go and touch it before he started. So he did that for 35 years. And you are not doing it anymore. A lot of people are upset. He just touched the radiator. What's that? What's up? That is not in the book anywhere. So he decided to call the retired pastor and ask him, retired priest, and ask him, you know, what was going on here that they were talking about this radiator thing? And he thought about it for a while and said, maybe true, because I used to touch the radiator every time because I wanted to, before I take the cup, I wanted to discharge the static electricity, you know, the static that gets to you. So he used to go and touch the radiator before he takes the cup. That became a habit for him. But he never realized that so many people were looking at it as a tradition that has to be continued. So it's a very ridiculous example, but it often gives us a profound lesson from that. The traditions we get started, and people endure tradition for a long time without knowing the meanings behind it. There are two sacraments that the Lord Jesus Christ has instituted while he was in this world. And one of them is the baptism, and the other one is the Lord's table. And those are the two sacraments that we as a church has accepted to do this. Even when the astronauts landed on the moon, remember the astronaut Buzz Aldrin, he remembered to take a little bit of a bread and a little juice to celebrate the Holy Communion there. I don't know, it did not make a big news, but it was something that he thought was appropriate to do in a celebration like that. So that is that God has given us this great privilege to celebrate this unity in spirit without any traditions or barriers of anything, that we can come as children of God no matter where you are, on the moon, on Pluto or planet, wherever you are, in college, in universities or places of work, wherever you are, you can celebrate this unity in spirit by partaking in this one sacrament of the table. When we break the bread and take the cup, we testify to each other and to the world around us through the symbols that Jesus Christ broke his body and also shed his blood so that we can be united together in that one sacrament. That is what Jesus Christ did. He did it for the remission of our sins, but at the same time he did it to unite us together as one people, following one faith, and also as the children of one Father. The purpose that we read today, the purpose Paul is addressing those who misunderstood the purpose of the sacrament. On the one hand, they overestimated the power because they thought if they ate the bread and drank the cup, God would be pleased with them and they would be safe from judgment. Many of them believed that. But this sacrament is not going to protect you from judgment. It is not something that you take for salvation. It is something that you are already saved who is celebrating the acceptance of salvation in your life. So you have to accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior in your lives, and this is not going to substitute that. So by partaking it, it is not a means to salvation, but it is an expression of the people to celebrate the salvation that you already have. So it is also, we read when the scripture we read today from Paul, there were the words that were repeated was the participation, verse 16 and verse 18. He talked about participation. It is about participating in this one sacrament, not witnessing it. Many faiths probably teach that you just witness the sacrament. That is not what the scripture teaches us. We participate in it. The word participation means more than just taking part together, but also fellowshipping. That's what the New Testament word for participation means. It comes from a word called common or communion. That's what it comes from. Communing together with fellowship. So the purpose of the Lord's table is to unite us together and also to have communion together and fellowship and love fellowship together in one spirit. This a blessing that we can gather here together and have this communion. It was always meant to be taken together in one place. But unfortunately, because of this pandemic, we could not do that, but at least we can gather as few as we can and be thankful for what we can do now. So the purpose of this is manifold, but the two main things that I wanted to bring to you is to unite us together as one people and also to celebrate the redemption that God has given us through sacrifice of Jesus Christ on the cross. Paul is continuing to write to the Corinthians that regardless of who you are, Jew or Gentile, saying that there is no racial or ethnic difference when you come to this table. There is no slave or free or class difference. Many churches make it a closed table, saying that this is only for a selected few. They would not allow other church people to come and join their communion. But our table is an open table. As a Methodist church, we believe in an open table. Anyone who wants to come to the table, because it's the Lord's table, it is not the church table, it is not the pastor's table, but it's the Lord's table. And we all come together to take it, and we do not discriminate anyone based on their church affiliation or their age or gender or class or anything. It is a relationship between them and God, and we give them the opportunity to take them together. That's all we do here. So if somebody walks from outside the door, we don't question them. They want to come and take this as a means of grace of God, we allow them to do that. Jesus said, I came to serve and not to be served. We are here to serve. And this whole purpose of having this table is to serve others. I don't know if you remember, in the olden days when you had the stage coaches and also the railways in India where I grew up, they used to have different classes of tickets you can buy when you travel on the train. In the stage coaches in the West, they used to have also three different classes. The first class tickets, you get to seat, to get seated in the coach while they were, ride on the stage coach. And you don't get out even if the stage, the coach breaks down. Somebody else will take care of that, you can still remain seated. The second class ticket people can remain seated in the coach until a problem happens. And then they will have to get out. And somebody will fix the problem and they get back in and go on their way. Then there's the third class ticket, where they can get seated until a problem happens. And they need to get out when the problem happens. Then they need to push the cart and do the work to get it out of that mess. So there are three classes there. We see classes all over the place. Some people think that they have a first class ticket and then can sit there and watch other people do it. That is not what Jesus Christ taught us. He taught us a serving spirit, a service spirit, to be serving to others. Anyone who thinks that he is the first would be last. That's what Jesus Christ taught us. So as we come to this table as children of God, remember that it is not because of our merits that we are partaking this or participating in this. It is only because of God's grace that God has given us this privilege to participate in this. Not because we are a first-class ticket holder or we have a special privilege. Yes, we do have a special privilege because God chose us and accepted us as His children. That's about it, only because of His grace and His mercy. And there is no second class or third class citizens in heaven. And we are all participants of that heaven one day. And we are all going to be the same class no matter what background you come from. There is no class difference or ethnic difference or second class or third class. We would never want to exclude anyone from this table either. This is offered to us through God's amazing grace. After all, we are all sinners. Following Christ's example, we can invite others to join this table and to receive the joyful meal together. When Christ came, God's promise was fulfilled because through Abraham, God gave a promise that we will be chosen as His children and one father and numerous children for Abraham. There is also, Paul continues to write that there is no neither male or female. There is no difference between gender. It should never be a competition spirit when we come to the table, but to a humble spirit that we serve each other by participating in this table. Our character will be the same as Jesus when we take the table. And also remember that we are reflecting or taking on the responsibility to reflect the character of Jesus as we take part in this. In Philippians we read that the attitude should be the same as that of Christ Jesus, who being in the very nature of God, did not consider equality with God, but he made himself nothing by taking the form of a human being to come to this world. That is what we are doing when we take this cup and this bread today as one body to be of service to others and to this world. And so our position will be the same as with Jesus in heaven when we are all take part in that heavenly blessing one day, because we are all gathering together in one heaven that God has prepared for us. So as we come to this table on this communion Sunday, our story is a continuation of the story that Jesus started. A story of one community of faith among many, receiving the cup and breaking the bread, partaking the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, we find hope, peace, and forgiveness in this table. We join this table with grace and new life. We join people around the world who, in their own situations, come to this table with hope of peace and healing. No matter what our story is, we all come to this table seeking to be filled with the breadth and the length and the height and the depth of Christ's love, so that we might know the fullness of God today and forever. So as we come before the table today, I exhort you to be humble and open before the Holy Spirit, so that we can be of service to others. It's a table that commits to us to serve each other. We will take the piece of bread today as we gather and celebrate this table. Especially today we have the celebration with the sealed cup. And those who have not used this, you will have two layers. You take the top portion to get to the bread, and then then open the second sleeve to get to the juice underneath that. As we gather, we take a piece of bread and bless it and share it and say, Christ has died, Christ is risen, Christ will come again. All these things are from Him and for Him and for His glory alone. It is not about us, it is about His mercy and His grace. Let all honor and glory be to God our Father in heaven through Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen. Christ our Lord invites to this table all who love Him, who earnestly repent of their sin and seek to live in peace with one another. Therefore, let us confess our sin before God and before one another.
Merciful God, we confess that we have not loved You with our whole heart. We have failed to be an obedient church. We have not done Your will. We have broken Your law. We have rebelled against Your love. We have not loved our neighbors. We have not heard the cry of the needy. Forgive us, we pray. Free us from joyful obedience. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
Hear the good news. Christ died for us while we were yet sinners. That proves God's love toward us. In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven.
In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven. Glory to God. Amen.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them up to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is right and a good and joyful thing, always and everywhere, to give thanks to You, Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth. And so with Your people on earth and all the company of heaven, we praise Your name and join their unending hymn.
Holy, holy, holy Lord, God, power and might, heaven and earth are full of Your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is He who comes in the name of the Lord.
Holy are You, and blessed is Your Son, Jesus Christ. By the baptism of His suffering, death and resurrection, You gave birth to Your church, delivered us from slavery to sin and death, and made with us a new covenant by water and the Spirit. On the night to which He gave Himself for us, He took the bread. He took the bread, gave thanks to You, and broke the bread, and gave it to His disciples, and said, Take, eat, this is My body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of Me. And when the supper was over, He took the cup, gave thanks to You, gave it to His disciples, and said, Drink from this, all of you. This is My blood of the new covenant, poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of Me. And so in remembrance of these Your mighty acts in Jesus Christ, we offer ourselves in praise and thanksgiving as a holy and living sacrifice in union with Christ's offering for us as we proclaim the mystery of faith. Pour out Your Holy Spirit on us gathered here and on these gifts of bread and drink. Make them be for us the body and blood of Christ, that we may be for the world the body of Christ redeemed by His blood. By Your Spirit, make us one with Christ, one with each other, and one in ministry to all the world, until Christ comes in final victory and we feast at His heavenly banquet. Through Your Son Jesus Christ, with the Holy Spirit in Your holy church, all honor and glory is yours, Almighty Father, now and forevermore. Amen. Like I reminded you earlier, it's an open table. Please come forward and take this cup and this bread today and celebrate the unity of the Spirit that God has given us to celebrate. As the ushers guide you, please come forward. Let us give thanks. Let us pray. Eternal God, we thank you for this holy mystery in which you have given yourself to us. Grant that we may go into the world in the strength of your Spirit to give ourselves for others. In the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord, we pray. Amen.
Amen.
The closing hymn is the Church's One Foundation on 545. The blue book, if you are able, please stand for the closing hymn.
Verses 1, 2, 4, and 5.
1, 2, 4, and 5.
Thank you.
People of God, no matter what our story is, we all come to this table to be filled with the breadth and the length and the height and the depth of the love of Jesus Christ, so that we might know the fullness of God, as the scripture says, and spread that love to this world, and to be serving to others and to each other. As we go from this place, remember that we are all united in this one love, as one body of Christ and the children of one Father. Now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, love of the Heavenly Father, and the everlasting comfort and fellowship of the Holy Spirit go with you now and forevermore. Amen.
Amen.